All right. Hey, guys. Good morning. For those of you that have just gotten here this morning or earlier, I did think about something as I prayed earlier. I didn't get to share the news, I guess, for those that didn't hear about it. But we lost a dear friend and a brother this week in a cruel way, our brother Chong. And we want to honor him today with some thoughts and looking into the new year. Just want you to know this didn't take God off guard. I don't believe he caused this. I don't think he works that way, but he is sovereign in all things, and we'll use this for his glory. And so we just want to pray before we get started and just already miss, I said this morning, I miss his smiling face here this morning, always a smile, and just such a humble spirit, and we will miss that here, but we trust that he's home. And so I just want to pray, and Jesse's going to lead us, and then we'll share some thoughts about him and about this new year to come that I believe God has something he wants to say today. So, Father, we love you. We thank you. It's heavy hearts today. I know personally some anger, some frustration, just some furious feelings, if I'm being honest, and then hurt and sadness, just not understanding. I think all of these things are okay. So, Father, just speak to hearts that are feeling the same way this morning, those that, whatever way we came this morning, that you just speak to hearts. And so we just pray that you are with us in this time of worship, time in the Word, and just that you receive all honor and glory. We just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus Christ, the death in his
This morning, I always ask this question, and I think about it later. I wanted to ask, can I be honest with you this morning? I hope I'm always honest when I share with you, so I don't guess I really need to ask that, but I guess the better question is, can I be transparent with you this morning? I shared with Jesse, and I know with others, it's days like today that are tough to carry the name pastor, I guess, because the news of our brother when Jason called Jamie and I yesterday is heartbreaking. I thought for a while yesterday the words speechless and senseless came to mind, sad, anger, frustration, all of these words I've said, felt, and heard at the news of our brother's passing. It's also heartbreaking to us. I guess details don't matter necessarily in this setting at this point. There will be an answer for it, but if you know the way he was taken from us, he was taken by a terrible act. And I think that makes it even just harder to stomach. Such a beautiful soul and man taken in such an evil way. I do want to share this, that I believe, Chong, if you knew him, he was always smiling. Always. In fact, walking the parking lot and talking with several this morning, just talking about what a nice man that he was. I'm looking at Jonathan and Julian and Melissa. I know several people that said, man, he would give you anything that he had. Man, what a testimony, right? Just such a giving and humble spirit. I think back to Jamie and I, Christmas Eve evening, we went to the Bowel, saw some of you guys, were able to deliver a few things from your church family, and just remember Don and Jason getting us to come in and seeing him, seeing Chung there, having worked a job that day, and but yet was still there to serve the team and serve others. I just remember him being so happy to see us and hugging us and us wishing him a Merry Christmas. I just want to tell you this in a moment of transparency. I don't think this was coincidence, but last week, I remember Chong was here. He was wearing an orange safety vest. It was easy to spot in the crowd. And he always served. He was here meeting like the truck when it pulled in to help unload, and he did that last week. And I just remember even kind of in an extra way he was serving last week. And I remember walking up to him and had a one-on-one talk, and I just told him these words, and I want you to agree with me in this. I know you will. I told him, I said, man, the church at Southside is a better body with you being in it. And I just hugged him. And just in his way, he smiled and thanked me, and then he got back to serving. I want you to know, I believe that this place is better with him in it. We are not whole today. We miss his presence. But can I tell you a sweet word that I believe Father gave me this morning? He is the one who is whole. He's home. I believe that. I believe there was the fruit of the Spirit there. I saw that in his heart and his life and the way he lived. And regardless of what you know about him or don't know about him or things that happened or things that didn't happen, I believe that he is with Jesus. This isn't one of those Jesus juke things to tell you, well, he's in a better place. He is. That's true. But I'm here to tell you this morning that even though we miss our brother and friend, that he is whole and he is redeemed. I believe that he is with Jesus. I was thinking of the words to say and asking God, you know, I wanted to honor him and I wanted to say a few words about him, and that doesn't do it justice. But I was just thinking where to start, where to go in the Word this morning. And honestly, I feel like what I had planned, what God had laid on my heart before even that news came about, was even in preparation of the news that we were about to get. If you remember last week, we were in the book of John, and we shared about this triumphal entry, but then we talked about just our identity in Christ, about how important that was going into the new year. I still think that's of utmost importance. And as I was preparing for this week, last week, before we even got in the news, I still find it fitting today because it's all about our identity in Christ. In fact, I want to read to you a quote that I read last week. If you weren't here, I want you to hear it and let it kind of set the tone for what I believe God wants to share with us today. It's from a book called The Beautiful Outlaw. It's written by a man named John Eldridge, and it said, "To know him," meaning Jesus, "as he is to come home. To have his life, his joy, his love, and presence cannot be compared. A true knowledge of Jesus is our greatest need, our greatest happiness, and to be mistaken about him is the saddest mistake of all." To be mistaken about how God feels about you and how you should feel about him, the love that he has for you, this madly, deeply in love with you, is the saddest mistake of all if we miss that, this side of glory. He loves you. He cares about you. On a day like today that can be somber and can kind of be heavy, I want to tell you this. I kind of had a funny experience this week. Some of you that are my age or older, you'll get this, okay? I had a conversation riding down the road with my son about pagers, about beepers. Anybody remember having a pager or a beeper, right? Ephraim, you remember having a pager? I know you had a pager back in the day. Did you wear it in your pocket backwards like me back in the day? Man, see, I had a pager, and see, I had to explain. I said, man, what happened was that if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, you know, they call the pager number, the number comes up on your screen, and then get this, you didn't have a phone where you had to just call right then. You had to hunt one down, put a quarter in it, or go to somebody's house or somebody's business. Hey, I need, like a teenager really needed a pager, right? But that was my first bill that I ever had. I had a pager. And it got me to kind of thinking back of some silly things back then. But see, we didn't have phones, so we didn't have text messages. If you had a boyfriend or girlfriend, right, you had what was called a love letter. Do you remember getting a love letter? Right, folded up. Some of you, if you didn't ever get one, I'm sorry. Right? But you remember the idea of it, right? Caroline, did they have love letters when you were in school? Caroline Crow, I'm calling you out. Did they have love letters when you were in school? Bonnie Wilson over there? They're not listening. Miss Mitzi, you got a love letter before. Anybody ever got one that said check yes or no? I think there's a song about that. Can I tell you something really cool, though? All of that love letter stuff, I mean, that's great, but I want to tell you, I got millions of them from people that ain't even around anymore, right? I got people that, you know, they tell you they love you 1 second, check yes or no, you check yes, and then they disappear on you, right? Oh, heartbreak. But let me tell you this. I really believe that Jesus is crazy about you. And he's madly, deeply in love with you. And he is one that will never leave. And I believe, as cheesy as it sounds, that he has written time and time again to your heart, to your soul, the deepest, most compassionate, most real love letter anyone could ever receive. And I want to tell you today what I felt led to do is just something entirely different than what we normally do. And I think that's okay. I'm not going to open the Bible and I'm not going to, you know, take a text and tell you verse by verse, but I have lumped some scripture together, and sometimes you can get in trouble doing that, but I have lumped some like-minded scripture together on our identity in Christ. And I felt led going into this new year, and even before we knew of our brother's passing, I felt led to do this, and then I'll be honest, even more so, hearing of the news. What does God think of you? Everything I'm about to read is his scripture. I won't give you the references because I don't want to stop the flow of this, but if you want to see them or if one jumps out, I'll be glad to give you that at the end. But I've lumped together some scripture that is all inspired from God, written to you about what he thinks of you. Father, I pray this, that maybe just a different way of doing this, but as we believe, everything that is about to be read is your inspired word, Holy Spirit inspired, to speak to our hearts, to let us know what you think about us. I believe our brother Chong was somebody that understood this. Just the fruit of your spirit was evident in him, the humbleness, the compassion, the service, the helping someone, all of these things, gifts from your spirit, just on display. And so I feel like even with that news, Father, that you would still lead us in this way to just even more so, just remind ourselves of how you feel about us in spite of what we've done, what we're doing, or what we will do, that it's really not about our sin. It is about your grace, your mercy, your compassion. We read about the triumphal entry last week, that where you rode into the city knowing that you would willingly lay down your life for the sheep. That's what the good shepherd does. That's what the good shepherd did for each and every person that's in this parking lot, no matter what we've done, what we're doing, or what we will do. And so I just beg, Father, I beg on a day like today where it's heaviness, it's mourning, it's anger, it's frustration, all of these things that have been said and spoken, I pray this, that we remember these words right now, this question, Father God, what do you think of me? You've already spoken on that and are about to speak into hearts. I believe you're about to meet people where they're at right now in this parking lot, listening online right now, wherever they are, and you're about to tell them exactly what you think about them. Father, what do you think of me? We pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Many people may have told you in your life what God feels about you, that you're a disappointment, a screw-up, or even maybe harsher than that, that you're no good, you'll never amount to anything, or maybe that you just feel like you're discarded trash, I've got good news. Here's what he thinks of you. In Christ God, he was reconciling the world to himself, not counting your trespasses against you, and trusting to the message of reconciliation. Fear not, for I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. What kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. I love you with an everlasting love. I will continue my faithfulness to you. I have shown my love for you that while you were still sinning, I died for you. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who saves. He rejoices over you with gladness, and he will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And if you've received him and believed in his name, he has given you the right to become a child of God. And if you are a child, then you're an heir of God, a fellow heir with Christ. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I will give you eternal life, and you will never perish. No one will snatch you out of my hands. My Father, who has given you to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch you out of the Father's hands. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is past and the new has come. Is anybody in Christ Jesus this morning? There is no condemnation for you. You have been justified by faith. The word justification means as just if you had never sinned. You have been justified. You were bought with a price. He's delivered you from the domain of darkness and transferred you from that darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He's now reconciled your body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless above reproach before him. I want to stop there and say this morning, that if you are here this morning and you would say, man, I'm no good, I am junk, I am throwaway trash, I don't feel like I belong, even in this place, I want you to hear these words again down to the core of your being, that by him, by his death, he is presenting you, taking you to the Father and presenting you as holy and blameless. Father, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. We are his workmanship, Some scriptures say his handiwork or his masterpiece. You know that this morning? You are his masterpiece, a brilliant, brilliant work of art, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared for you beforehand that we should walk in them. I want to read this from the Message, that same passage. It says, now God has us where he wants us with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon me in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea, all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we had done the whole thing. No, we neither make or save ourselves. God does both the making and saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work that we had better be doing. He is madly, deeply in love with you. He willingly laid down his life for you. And I want to share two beautiful words in closing this morning. Y'all remember Uncle Bill, don't you? I was talking with Uncle Bill, and just to show you how on time God is, a passage I was already sharing, and Bill backed me up a few verses and shared this, and I feel like I've got to add these two stories this morning quickly in closing. I want to read you the before part of the whole masterpiece verse. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince and power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once live in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Listen to these two words there. But God. You were dead in your trespasses, but God. Being rich in mercy because of the great love in which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. It goes on to say that you and I are masterpieces. And by the way, can I share this good piece of news with you? It doesn't matter what you think about yourself. It doesn't matter what someone else thinks about you. He's already spoken and said, you are a masterpiece. But God. The last one I'm just going to share in a story. You know the story of the prodigal son. Anybody know that story in this place? The prodigal son that had squandered everything, that was in the hog pen, and he was sitting there. He had spent everything that the father had given him, his inheritance. By the way, his inheritance that his dad had not even died yet. He went to him and said, you would be better off dead to me. I want what's mine. Let me go. He's done that. He spent it all on this wild living. He's got a job as a hog farmer. By the way, if you know the Jews, you know that that is not an animal that they even consider clean. And so he's in this dirty pen with a dirty animal, and he's looking at the slop and saying, man, if I could just eat that, I would be okay. And from there, it says he came to himself. In other words, he had this light bulb moment, and he said, not even a servant of my father eats like this. If I go home and I beg forgiveness and just go to him and say, will you just let me be a hired hand? Will you just let me come home and serve? And we know the story that he's rehearsing this repentant speech over and over. By the way, one that he never really gets to give. Jesse, I think of our brother Chris with that story. But he just never even gets to explain himself, because when he gets there and he's walking off from this great distance, it says the same thing that we just read in Ephesians 2. But the Father. But God. It says that he ran off. I wrote this down this morning. But while he was a long way off, but God. He saw him and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. You notice that? He didn't wait on him. He didn't just, you know, there was no doubt when the son saw the father. There was zero doubt that the father was mad. He didn't have to worry about that. The father ran to him, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Here's why I share that. I think that's the greeting that Chong got when he left this place. While he was a long way off, I believe the father ran, hugged him, couldn't stop kissing him. Why? Because he's a masterpiece in Christ. But God. I'm better off for having known him. His humility, his servant's heart, may we all aspire to that. May we remember what God thinks of us, that you are not just some afterthought. You're not whatever's been spoken over you. You're a masterpiece. Will you pray with me this morning? God, we thank you for that. Even when we don't feel it, even when we feel like we've messed up and we've gone too far beyond repair, when maybe our sin is at its heights or we forget who we are, walk in the identity that we used to live in, or whatever the case may be. Thank you for reminders that we are a masterpiece, that you love us, that you are madly and deeply in love with us through Christ. If we know you, then you, on that day, when we meet you face to face, Father, we will be presented to you as holy and blameless because of the finished work of the cross. May we put our hope and trust in that, not just for an eternal thing, but for the here and now, that we will walk as our brother did with a humble and servant's heart, a smile. Every time we greet somebody, a smile. Somebody said that, said when you saw Chong and you saw him having a bad day, you couldn't tell it because he was still smiling. What a testimony. May that be the same of us all. May we love like he did, love like your son, and walk in that spirit, the fruit of your spirit. May we have love and grace and compassion and mercy and realize that each and every person we see is not maybe what's been spoken over them, not their activity, not their job, not their status, but that each and every person we see, no matter what walk of life, background, where they're currently at, where they're going, that each and every person we see is a masterpiece created by the Father's hand. Jesus, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for a friend that is whole. Help our hearts as we miss him here. And Jesus, we love you. We need you. And we just pray that you continue to speak these words, this love letter, if you will, over our hearts and over our soul today. Jesus, we love you. We need you. We pray it in your name. Amen. Coach her and get her out that game where they're losing their dignity for a coach first. No skirt.